Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world tonight on WWCR 5890 on your radio dial. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program tonight. The future of the two sticks, meaning the house of Judah and the house of Israel, to become one stick in the Father's hand. I can't wait for the day if that's going to happen. Is that a promise? We're going to study it. We're going to look into the scriptures, and we're going to let the scriptures do the talking, and the promises are sure. Now, Abraham is given the promise of kings and nations in Genesis 17:6. Now, these two promises are like the two sticks in Abraham's hand, which was later passed down to his heirs. Now, we know through the scriptures that Jacob deceived Esau and obtained the two sticks of Abraham, Baal Isaac. Although he would have received the promises probably honorably, had he waited and trusted in Yahweh, he had to hatch up a plan and deceive Esau. This brought enmity back into the mix, as enmity has plagued Jacob. Jealousy, envy, family squabbles, division, and we're going to explain to you how this division come about because of the promised inheritor that was to inherit. We begin by Jacob having obtained two wives to form this future house of the two sticks, Rachel and Leah. Now, Rachel was beloved. Leah was sort of despised in a way. Jacob didn't love her. Never did. And some of the genetics of this animosity and the feelings that they've had, evidently, if we psychoanalyze the situation, probably a lot of mistrust, jealousies and envies, like in any family in the earth. Yahweh's family from Jacob and his two wives. Now we have Leah and we have Rachel. Rachel had no children. Now Leah, the one that was, you know, sort of tender-eyed, she wasn't good-looking, but she became the workhorse for Jacob as he used both these wives of the promise now, of the promise, for kings and for the promises of nations. Kings and nations. Keep this in mind now. Now we have kings in Europe and the dynasties that these kings in England, and the kingship is still going on, whether it's right or wrong, we can deal with that just a little bit later, but the promise was for kings and, of course, queens. We have a queen now that sits over Great Britain, and we have the nations that don't have a king. They have elected officials like the United States. And so that promise was kept. And today it's still true. Now, Jacob's house was divided from the onset because he had obtained the two wives when he only really wanted one. There became to be jealousies. Now, we'll go back in the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we bring ourselves up to speed by revealing the succession of the heirs to this promise as they are being born systematically. We have the first four sons from Leah. Now that's strange. We have Reuben. He's the eldest son. He's the heir apparent to receive the promise from the king's side. But we find out that Reuben transgressed. He laid with his father's concubine, and that was a no-no. And he lost his right of selection to be the firstborn son of his promise. Now, that in itself is insignificant at this point, but it'll come back later on in the series that we could do on this, and I could do probably 10 or 12 hours of teaching on this one thing without ever opening the Bible to bring a total recall of the promise given to Abraham and the enmity that was sown between these two wives and their offspring. Now, we get the fourth son, and that would have been Jacob, bearing through Leah the four sons, and we would have Reuben, and we would have Simeon, and we would have Levi, and we would have Judah. And these would be elders. They would be in the family longer, naturally. We wait until the 11th son. Now, 11 itself is significant, I believe, in the numerical order here. The 11th son would be division. Now, we all know that Joseph was the 11th son. Actually, he was the first son born to the woman that Jacob loved. That would be Rachel. That was his mother. Now, all of the sons, all of the ones that I can list here, down to the last one, was not too high on Joseph for some reason. Now, he was the only son that you can read in the Bible that never had a written out against him. Even when he was mistreated by being sold into slavery, told that he was dead, brought his coat home dipped in lamb's blood. Isn't that significant? And that's a type and a shadow right there. But Joseph was the one that typified, and if you will, he mirrored the Messiah. You see, the Messiah was hated and despised. Joseph was hated and despised. Jealousies. Announcement. I would like to have you to remember here, as we read this promise from the prophecies of Judah, or to Judah, from Jacob. Let's visit what he said. He told him that the scepter would not depart from Judah until the Messiah came. Now, isn't that strange? Now, it wouldn't depart until. Question. To advance up to the time of the Messiah, was the Messiah truly from the house of Judah, or was he a Jew like most Christians believe he was? And the answer to that would be no. How that they have masqueraded as God's chosen when they were not chosen. No promise anywhere gave Judah the birthright promise that a king would come from his loins to rule. I'm talking about the future Messiah. This is the main king of the promise. And it wasn't fulfilled in the Messiah because the Messiah himself was from the house of Joseph. And we know that David's father, he was from the house of Joseph. He was an Ephraimite. So we are building this animosity between the two most powerful promised recipients of the crown and the birthright. Now, if Judah did not receive the crown of the birthright, and the Messiah did not come from his loins, then why have we been convinced, and wrongly so, I study, we offer a $10,000 reward for anyone that can prove that the Messiah descended from Judah. In fact, the scriptures, after a thorough study, tells us plainly that the Messiah's bloodline was from Joseph. He was the pick of his father. Isn't that strange? Fathers taking sides? Yes. Jacob loved Joseph. He admired him. He had knowledge. He was a spiritualist. He was a great interpreter of the heavens. We know he had a star book in his hand that revealed where he sit in the heavens, because he showed it to his younger brother Benjamin. This is a strange twist. Benjamin was the opposite of Joseph. Benjamin was a perverted man. His whole tribe was sexual deviants. They went about breaking Yahweh's covenant and laws. And Israel, later on, after Joseph died and the son settled, after Judah died and his son settled, there was a great war between these two tribes. Judah and Israel warred, and Israel warred against Benjamin, who eventually was rescued by Judah. And this is a strange twist. It's so strange and so intriguing that by doing a study, you will learn a lot from these two sticks and the ones that they chose to be with them. Now, we've got 13 tribes here to divide up. Eventually, we're coming to 13 tribes. The reason why is that Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, they were adopted by Jacob. Now, that raised the level of the sonships to 13 instead of 12, which was original in the constellations that matched the 12 sons. But in truth, there's 13 constellations, not 12. We know that now through astronomy and astrology teaches both that there's 13 constellations. Well, I mentioned that Joseph was big on the stars. He had a dream, and he dreamed that all the other sons who represented the stars that he told them about, they done servitude to him. They had to bow to him. Now, this is completely against all of the sons' pleasure. They had no pleasure in bowing to Joseph. And they said, he's a dreamer and a schemer, and we got to get rid of this guy. And so, with the divided house from the onset, and Joseph being the 11th son, was the victim of these other sons' jealousies, and they wanted really to kill him, even Benjamin, that later was protected from wiping his house or bloodline out, saved by the very one that wanted to kill his brother because he had the birthright. They were jealousies here. This is carried over to today to most people. We got people believe that Judah is the birthright son. He's not. He wasn't chosen to be a producer of the king that would rule the earth with a rod of iron. This was given to an unlikely candidate. And you have to really be a student of the Bible to know this because of the deception, some of it because of the lying pen of the scribes, and some of it misunderstanding, or some of it tradition, that we have always believed that Judah was God's chosen one, and that the rest of the sons were just Gentile, became Gentile residents. And you say, well, how could they be Gentiles? They are not. But the world accredits them as being Gentiles. We're talking about the 10 lost tribes. And we know by careful searching, they weren't really lost in become Gentiles. They were lost and driven into the lands of the Gentiles. And there they had the promise again of Genesis 17:6 of becoming kings and priests and fathers of nations. And we know the Caucasian trek from the Caucasus Mountains when Israel in 721 B.C. was driven out of the land by Yahweh. Yahweh sent them packing. The reason he did, because of their disobedience. They broke his covenants, his laws, wouldn't keep his commandments, wouldn't keep his Sabbath, and Yahweh gave them up to worship the vain gods that they preferred. So he sent them out among the Gentiles. These are the lost sheep that I'm going to talk about and tell you this division and this animosity has grown to the point that people believed the lie of the devil, which was Judah is God's chosen people, the Jews. Now, in reality, the Judeans were never called Jews by Yahweh. Jew is a sling word, if you will, that enters in, and they have received the handle, well, the Jews. God loves the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen people. Now, this other people, Israel, scattered among the Gentiles, became known as Gentiles. So we have two classes of people in the earth. We have Jews and Gentiles. The Jews hold the honor, and the prestige goes with this honor because of the power of the people to bestow it upon them, whether it's true or not. And it's not true. Judah did not produce the king of promise, according to Genesis 17:6. This king of promise came out of the loins of Joseph, and his name was Ephraim. Now we know that Ephraim and Manasseh were adopted, and once you're adopted, you cannot be unadopted. You cannot be put away. You cannot ever leave. You can't ever discard the promise of adoption. Isn't that wonderful? Here, Ephraim is chosen to be the birthright son. He has this distinction and honor placed upon him by the patriarch Jacob. He lays hand on Ephraim's head, the right hand. And Joseph, being quite disturbed, knowing that the elder should receive the birthright, tried to correct his father, Jacob, and said, No, Dad, you have picked the wrong one. Your elder should be under your right hand, and your younger should be under the left. And Jacob paid him no mind and said, I know what I've done. So it was meant for Ephraim to have the birthright. Again, animosity is growing even in those two sons. Now, we have the southern kingdom of Judah, and we have the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes north, the two tribes, the tribe of Levi became the priest tribe, and they lost their ability to claim any right to have land because they were priests. Under the law, they waited on the table and the showbread and the things that they were picked out for. These are from the house of Levi. Moses was from the house of Levi. They couldn't inherit anything, so the first three sons, if we read the Bible and follow the trail of what they have done to inherit or to disinherit themselves, Judah did a terrible sin, and so did his brother, Simeon. In the book of Genesis 46, verse 10, we have it stated to us that both of these, 10 and 12, verse 10 and verse 12, in verse 10, we find that Simeon had a Canaanite son. That broke the trust that Jacob had in him to keep himself pure. He didn't approve of this Canaanite child being in his bloodline. Just as Jacob knew that Judah had done the same thing. He had a Canaanite sons, not son, but sons in his bloodline. Now, that disbarred Judah from ever having the birthright. Yahweh is not going to give the birthright to the elder son to whom it belonged. This would be the firstborn of Judah, and his name would be Er, and Onan. Shelah being the third son, the first two were killed by Yahweh to keep them from inheriting anything from the firstborn son. And so then, Judah himself was out for his deeds because he laid with a Canaanite woman. It was not permitted for them to lay with Canaanites and to bring forth kings and nations to be chosen by Yahweh at a later date. So he guarded the birthright privilege jealousy with jealousy. He was jealous for him. Joseph, like I say, being the promised son of the 11th, which itself brought division, this is what Joseph had to endure being put out of the family, sold to the slave trade, and didn't show up until Israel was hungry, Jacob's sons, and they came down to buy corn, who, in the meantime, Joseph had proved himself worthy of being a king, of running a kingdom. He's the only one that had any experience of doing so, proving that he was a king, and that his bloodline would produce the future Messiah. Well, everybody thought the Messiah would come out of Judah, Bethlehem, Judea, according to Matthew chapter 2. Now, if you read this, you'll see the deception begins quite deceivably, deceiving the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very mysterious deception of how that the lying scribes and the Pharisees from this union of Judah and the Canaanite woman produced sons that excelled in deception. What do liars do? Well, they lie. What did Christ say about the seed of Judah? Well, John 8:44, he pinned this label on them, saying, your father, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, your father is the devil. Now, they were the leaders of the Sanhedrin. They took the chief seats to whom they love, and they had wiggled their way in, and they ran the Sanhedrin court. And when they found out that this king, who was claiming to be the Messiah, did works of the Messiah, was a worthy king, did the work of a king, that the more good works he done, the more they hated him, just like they hated Joseph, a perfect type. Well, once they found out that this man, who claimed not to be of Judah, and the bloodline of the Canaanite woman, that's what they wanted him to be. Did you know he would have had to have been from the Canaanite affection? Because the elder son only received the birthright. We know that Zara and Phares, they came into the picture through Tamar and her trickery herself of Judah. She just gave him a dose of his own medicine. She was an Israelite according to the book of Jasher. Well, we know that Judah was an Israelite. We know that he was the fourth son. He had pure blood. It wasn't, you see, his union with the woman didn't pollute his blood. It polluted the offspring of his blood. Therefore, he had to pay. Yahweh killed the first two. Judah hid the third one. And this third one was the one that went down into Egypt and sojourned there among them with Simeon, the other Canaanite son, for over 400 years. So there was a seed line established in Egypt, in darkness. That's where the devil works. And when they came out noted as Pharisees and leaders, excelling among the tribes. They were jealous and envious of anything that came from Joseph's side or from the house of Israel. They warred against them. They rescued Benjamin, who was almost wiped out as they were doing the sexual things that weren't pleasing to the house of Israel, who warred with them and killed them all. They thought. But Judah went up and rescued them as they were up in the upper regions. They went up to the festival that they were having in the upper part of the ten tribes, they slipped up there and they stole them Israelite wives. And they got themselves back on track with producing. Otherwise, they would have been completely wiped out. And Judah took Benjamin, the little tribe of Benjamin, under his wing and protected them, because Israel was angry with them. Now, how did the snake get in the blood of Judah? Well, it was plain. He went down in the 46th chapter, or in the 38th chapter it is, he went down and he married a Canaanite woman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't nobody that believes that Judah is God's chosen would justify Judah marrying a Canaanite woman to try to produce the promise of the king. What he produced was sons of Satan. They were half-breeds. They had the blood of Judah, that's true, in their veins. And they had the chromosomes of their mother in their blood because she was a Canaanite. And so the battle begins right here of how to discern between the good and the bad. Now, some people believe that all of the figs that was in the basket were bad. That's not true. It was a basket of good figs and a basket of bad figs. Here is where Yahweh is telling you in coded language that those in the basket of bad figs were the mixed seed of Shua and Judah, that's the bad figs, and the good figs was out of the seed of Tamar, the Israelite woman, and Judah. Two wrongs don't make a right, but two rights will make a perfect Israelite from the loins of Tamar. From her came Zara and Perez. But they still didn't have any claim to be kings. They still didn't have any claim to be chosen before the production of a king from their loins. But when you read the genealogy, they have expertly slipped in the bloodline of Zara and Perez where it shouldn't be. And I can prove this, and when I teach on it, I get a lot of challenges from people until I give them the scriptures, and then they say, well, we didn't know that's what the Bible said. You know, to study, to be approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, it takes a little while. And you've got to be sincere. You have to push your plate back. You have to pray for this understanding. And when you get it, you'll wish you never got it because all the world will be against you. Just like all of the sons was against Joseph. They didn't want him around. They removed him. And then Judah reigned over them by power. He took over. He basically took over when Joseph left the sons, his brothers and sisters, when he left all of them. Judah, by his sheer strength and by his desire, he was very, very aware that his mother had been wronged. He wanted to set it right. And he set out to make it right. And he became the leader. He ruled over them with his authority, according to the fifth chapter of First Chronicles. And so then we have this ununified 12 tribes of Jacob Israel that has grown to 13. And for punishment, we know that King David, who was not a Judite, and everybody thinks because he was the king of Judah, he had to be a Judite. He did not. We know who his father was. It tells us plainly. We know who he was, and it tells us plainly what bloodline he was from. And it wasn't from Judah. Now, if you studied, and I advise you to study quite a while, you can come up to speed real fast if you get onto this trail. It didn't take me long, just 50 years plus, to figure some of these great mysteries out. A little here and a little there. A few prayers, a lot of fasting, and Yahweh will open your eyes to truth, and you may not even want truth. You may regret that you got it. When you have to go against the nature or the grain of the way people have perceived and the false doctrine that's been set up to deceive the very elect, if it's possible. But under the tutelage of King David, of ruling over Judah and over Israel, he ruled all of the 12 tribes. Isn't that what the birthright king should do? He shouldn't take sides and be jealous and envious one side or the other, which most of them became. But David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. He unified the whole 12 tribes. In Genesis 48:19, Ephraim, the son of Joseph, receives the promise of nations. Therefore, the nation were the nations like the United States of America, New Jerusalem. With King David uniting all of Israel, and as a punishment for King Solomon's idolatry, if you'll go to Kings, you will read the story of how Solomon, who was the son of David with Bathsheba, and you'll find him in the genealogy listed as one of Christ's progenitors. But is he? If you go to Matthew chapter 2, you'll find in the genealogy that the Solomon is listed there. But if you go to the genealogy in Luke chapter 3, you'll find that Nathan, Solomon's brother, was listed there. Now, which one was he from? So we have a discrepancy in the genealogy. And the Bible says the birthright is not to be reckoned after genealogy. You see that? If you follow genealogy and the rule of how it's been said in the Bible, you'll be deceived by the Judites. Now that brings up this question. Now let me spend a little time on the Jews. Did you know that the Bible says that many of the Jews or the Judites believed on Christ and repented and was baptized and believed on him? But for the most part, the Jews, who were the sons of the affection of the Canaanite woman, had the Canaanite blood in them, where Christ said, your father's a devil, he was a liar from the very beginning, and a murderer. That's the bloodline of Judah from the Canaanite woman. He had sons and daughters that miscegenated. They came out with a great mixed multitude, according to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 38. We find a mixed multitude, a mongrel race. These are the great, later, the Pharisees and the scribes who took over the direction of the Bible and oversaw its printing. They had access to change scriptures. Christ said, beware of the scribes. That means that the Bible that they had in their possession to copy it word for word, that they could change a few things. And believe you me, in my 50 plus years of searching, I found a few things that they changed. Now the two kings go to war with each other repetitively, with much hatred and bloodshed, each one claiming to be over or God's chosen, and the distinction finally went to the southern kingdom, Judah, and Israel became known as the prodigal son, the son that left. The northern kingdom and parts of the southern kingdom in 2 Kings 18 and 13 are scattered and deported by the Assyrian Empire. Look at it. 2 Kings 18. Now, these that were scattered were both Israel and both Judah. Therefore, the separation by Yahweh himself up in Babylon, telling Jeremiah that they was a basket of good figs there and a basket of very bad figs. Now, these very bad figs became the chief rulers, the one that Christ tangled with later on. And thus, the animosity and the enmity between them was still going on when Christ came to set the record straight and to tell them who he was from. Well, we know how he was treated. He was treated exactly like I say. He was treated just like Solomon. He treated Israel and dealt very unkindly with them. And for the reasons why is because the animosity that was in Solomon's heart. The Bible said Solomon loved many strange women. And he brought forth seeds from them. And ladies and gentlemen, he created a mess, if you would look in the Bible. And yet, today that's not told that Solomon loved many strange women and Yahweh rent the kingdom, the 10 tribes, out of his hand and only left Rehoboam, Solomon's son, who was another, I believe, bad seed. And thus we have the beginning of the Sanhedrin Jewish kingdom, which is evil, mixed with the blood of Cain seed. We have from Tamar a righteous seed from the house of Israel, who they remain steadfast and loyal to being one of the sticks that Yahweh chose and will choose in the last day to make them one stick. And the kingdom will be reunited. All of the 13 tribes, ladies and gentlemen, will inherit. No tribe will miss their appointment. You say, well, if they was miscegenated and have the blood of Cain, and they couldn't inherit. That's true. They won't. A remnant will be saved. That remnant is from the true house of Israel. They have the proper bloodline, the proper credentials, and they will get their reward. They will not miss out. Yahweh will not lie. He will give the 13 tribes, which Joseph identified through a dream, that all of them would bow to him. And that's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. All of these 13 tribes will inherit in the kingdom. None will lose. A few will be saved. There will arise someone out of the house of Zion. And they will teach these things that I'm teaching. I know that most people think that I'm wrong, but nobody's ever stood up to me. They don't have the courage to confront me and to challenge me on what I'm teaching here tonight. I know it's controversial. I know that Judah married a Canaanite. I know that's not right. I know that Tamar got a seed from Judah. She was an Israelite woman. Judah's blood was not contaminated. Just his offspring was contaminated. Judah. You go to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll see Judah is in that number. He's not disqualified. Although people try to rub him out and ignore him, he'll be in that kingdom under the banner of the sons that were produced from the union between Judah, however wrong you may think it was. It was the will of Yahweh for Tamar to do what she done. And she saved the seed of Judah. Otherwise, they would have all perished through miscegenation. She brought back honor to Judah, where no honor he deserved by marrying the Canaanite woman. He done many terrible things to displease Yahweh. Just like we have talked about Solomon from David, who did many bad things, marrying these strange women. Yahweh rent the kingdom from his hand, and I just don't believe, as smart as Solomon was, he's going to make it into the kingdom with a miscegenated bloodline, being a rich, stuck-up king that broke Yahweh's laws and commandments, and Yahweh would have killed him with death. Just like he killed the two sons of Judah. He spared Judah because he had to have the seed of the promise of Genesis 17 that all of the 13 tribes could inherit. So he preserved Judah's seed through Tamar. Whether you like that or not, it's the truth. Yahweh has got a plan. Yahweh will see it through. Now when the southern kingdom was deported up into Babylon, and that was around 597 and 586 B.C., the Babylonians, it took Judah into captivity. We read that there was two groups that Yahweh saw these two seeds, the good figs and the bad. Now don't try to make outlaws out of the bad when Yahweh said they was good. But Yahweh that claimed to be good were good. Now we know that these bad figs mostly did not return to Israel. They went behind the 10 tribes that had been deported in 721 B.C. They followed their brothers into the isles where Yahweh would fulfill his promise that there would come kings and nations out of Genesis 17 where he promised. And so then, Yahweh kept his word and his promise. Even as bad as Reuben was, laying with his mother's his father's concubines. Even Reuben wasn't denied the kingdom promise in the covenant. He's going to inherit. People keep kicking these tribes out, and they're making Yahweh a liar, and he's not able to perform that which he promised he would. I promise you there'll be 13 tribes there out of the sons of Jacob. All of them will get their due reward. Not all have fared well. Not all of them have done the right thing. But Yahweh knows them that are his, and he will bless them at the appointed time, and all Israel shall be saved, according to the book of Romans, chapter 11, where we are explained to that the eyesight of Israel, the 13 tribes, the whole 13 tribes, the whole stick becomes one stick. After this division, this animosity works its way out, we'll get a better understanding, because this truth will catch on and prevail, and the truth will overcome. And may Yahweh bless you is my prayer tonight. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and by Brother Bud and Brother Ford, Brother Edward we call him, and by Brother Paul in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748 is Brother Paul's number. He's got products that'll help you. Paul's a good man, and I love him very much. Call Paul tonight and tell him that Pastor Buddy mentioned his 800 number, 1-800-253-2748. Again, I thank my sponsors tonight, Brother Bud, Brother Edward, and Brother Mark, down in the great state of Mississippi. And may Yahweh bless you all tonight. And if you'd like to call me, you can simply call Pastor Buddy. 1-423-351-1082. Now that's 423-351-1082. If you'd like to have this message, Brother Bob will have it posted on oneyahweh.com. To be up there in a day or two. And you can download it and play it entirely. Stop it. Search. Make sure that what Pastor Buddy has said is true. And when you hear the whole story, you'll know how this is a very complicated mess of genetics that only Yahweh knows that are his. 423-351-1082. Now, if you'd like to call my cell phone, 423-333-0392. That's my cell phone. And you can call me. Go to our website. Check us out on the web, World Wide Web, at oneyahweh.com. We have a lot of messages already preached about the subject. Every once in a while, I'll get on the subject and teach the complicated truth. If you're of Yahweh, you'll hear his word. If you're not of Yahweh, you won't hear what he's got to say. Yahweh bless your ears tonight and bless them abundantly that you may know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I'll be on here tomorrow night. Been on here from 11 Eastern Standard Time to 12 o'clock. Every Saturday night, you can hear Pastor Buddy on 5890 on your radio dial. You can also listen in on the worldwide internet. Just go to the website, WWCR, click on Program Guide 4. That's where you'll find us tonight on the World Wide Web. Also, tomorrow night, I'll be back, sponsored by Dr. Gary, exclusively on WWCR 4840 on your radio dial at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be in here tomorrow night with some interesting information on health matters. I'll be talking about the new vitamin called D3 that's the rage of the doctors, and they're promoting and passing it out. They are recommending products that's got aspartame in it. We're going to talk about that, the side effects, and how it's killing a lot of people. We'll be warning you tomorrow night about aspartame and the vitamin D3. You won't want to miss it. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on 4840 WWCR on the transmitting Jewel of the South right out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're always live. We never do a recorded program. And I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWCR 4840 at 9 Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you.